Hello and welcome to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing today? This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am so glad to be in the land of the living today. Aren't you? Wow. Boy, things are going very, very fast. And hey, we better put on our seatbelts and ride the waves, right? He that endures to the end shall be saved. Have you ever heard that before? If not, there's a first time for everything, right? Okay, I'm live right now on www.wwgh1071.com. I'm also live right now on that TuneIn app. And all you have to do is download that TuneIn app on any electronic device. And it's even on smart TVs. Along with your apps. Wow, when I discovered that, I was like, whoa, all these years. I'm finally getting a smart TV. I guess you could tell that, right? Okay. Anyway, any electronic device, you can download TuneIn app. Go to the search bar and type in WWGH. That is on any electronic device. I don't know if it works like that on your TV or not, and it might not. It may be just whatever program is running at that particular time. You can get it, right? So if I'm on at 10:15, then you'll get it 10:15 on your TuneIn app on your TV. You might not even have to do that in your search bar. But I think last I tried on your phone, you had to do that. Also, I'm live right now in the studio by calling 740-383-9944. If you have any questions or would just like to make any comments or be a part of the show, my guest today will be Fred Malone. He will be getting here about 10:30 this morning. Okay, now let us move along. If this is your first time, I pray it is not your last time. And if you are a faithful listener and supporter, hello, how you doing today? Thank you so much for your love and your support. If it had not been for you, A Voice of a People would not still be on the air. And thank you so very, very much. And along with you all is Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC of 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. That telephone number there is 740-382-8552. Excuse me. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. That number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. They also have an ongoing announcement, free produce every third Saturday of every month. The next will take place October the 18th. Of 2025. It begins at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please take advantage of this announcement, free produce. Also, we have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Club. Still asking for prayers for her, for myself, and other people who are dealing with health issues. Anyone in your neighborhood or your friends or your family, please lift them up in prayer. Maybe those who go to your church, remember them when you are praying that they need a touch from the Lord where their health is concerned. Okay, I have an ongoing announcement. I had one for, I'll let Fred give you that announcement when he gets here. It's about the historic Marion County Historical Society having their dinner with the presidents November the 1st. And he will give you the rundown of all that when he gets here. Okay, now, how many of you have seen that harvest moon? Oh my gosh, it was supposed to have been the largest, of course, this year of the full moons, and is also during the time of the harvest moon. I think I shared some of those things with you, and maybe I did not, because I have the almanac, and it's talking about the leaves and the change of the colors and all that, but that harvest moon was beautiful, especially if you could be close to it when it rises, you know, on the scene. It's just gorgeous. My. And we still have not witnessed the turning colors of our leaves yet. And I think that was because we did not get a lot of water. And I can share some of that with you as well. What weather conditions bring the best fall foliage. While daylight is the main factor that brings on fall foliage, several other factors contribute to how bright fall colors are: temperature, precipitation, and soil moisture. In general, cooler nights with decreasing temperatures throughout the day lead to more vivid colors. A wet growing season followed by an autumn with lots of sunny days, dry weather, and cold frostless nights will produce the most vibrant palette of fall colors. This vividness is especially true of red leaves such as those on sugar maples and red maple trees. Drought conditions, which is something that we have witnessed here in Ohio, during late summer and early fall can also trigger an early shutdown of trees as they prepare for winter, causing leaves to release early from trees without reaching their full color potential. And you know, fall is one of the most beautiful times of the year, just like spring when the blossoms come out and they just fragrance the whole atmosphere. But you know, the leaves and their beautiful colors of turning for the fall is also something that we look forward to. We decorate our homes, and you know, you could buy fake leaves and get your pumpkins out, which a lot of people have done, and I even bought pumpkins and set them out this year. So we're doing the best that we can with what we have, right? But I am really waiting on those leaves to change color. Let us finish this here, and it says, excuse me. Of course, if freezing temperatures and a hard frost hit, it can kill the process within the leaves, leading to poor fall color and early leaf drop. But one thing we do have, and I am thankful for, the roses are beautiful. The flowers are gorgeous, and they are still blooming. And that is something that we can look forward to as far as color. And it may not be the leaves, but the flowers and plants are just beautiful. They're just beautiful. And I give thanks to our mayor, who has the slogan, Love Your City, and how he has made it beautiful, like downtown area, just flowers everywhere. And they are so vibrant and beautiful. So hats off to our mayor, and hats off to each and every one of you who take lovely care of your yards and your rose bushes and your, I don't even know the name of all those flowers, but they're just beautiful. And I just want to say thank you all for all that you do. Now, I can grow some plants, but I can't grow a lot of plants. So it's not, I do my best. I say it like that, and I try to keep my yard, you know, looking pretty decent. So that's, I contribute what I can, and I'm sure we all do. But thank you anyway, for those of you who have that green thumb. Okay, now, I can share with you the trees that do produce colors or the brightest colors, but right now, we're not even witnessing any of those things. So I will go to my thought for today, and it is titled, Eye of the Storm. Let's see what that has to say for us today. Excuse me. You know, as soon as it starts getting a little chilly, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I get a little clearing my throat, watery eyes, and all that kind of stuff. So, all right, let's see. Eye of the Storm. A wise sea captain caught in a tropical storm knows that if he holds his vessel on the periphery, whatever that is, it will get hurled from one side to the other. If he can reach the eye of the storm, he will enter a place of stillness. The storm will then subside and the ship can continue its journey. Similarly, when everything around me is changing in a very intense way, the best place for me to seek shelter and refuge is not on the outside, but deep within the self, where I can get in touch with my own inner feelings, find strength and stability. Okay, the eye of the storm. So I guess the thought there is to stay in the center Don't walk around the edges where it's not, where the foundation is not stable. This is what I'm getting from Eye of the Storm thought for today. A wise man said this, so it must be true. And, you know, it's just like what we're living and witnessing right now in our culture, in our world today. You know, we can't be so frail and walk on the outside of things. We have to stay in the middle. And I do believe that right down that middle, right down that narrow road is where there is safety. I do believe that, because any other place, there is no safety. But I believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is right down the middle. He says, don't get on that wide road, because there are many people on that road and they are headed to destruction. But stay on the, he said, the way is narrow, like one lane. And I heard somebody say, it was either this morning or yesterday morning, that you can only enter that road, that narrow road, one at a time. That's how narrow it is. Wow, and I hope I make it through. I hope I make it through that narrow road. Wow. The eye of the storm. The storms of life are many. And we don't know when they're coming, how they're coming, how long they're going to last. But we just know we have different storms in our life. We're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or on our way into a storm. Because life is just not an even keel. It is a group, well, not a group, but life is hills and valleys and curves and straight and narrow and, you know, wide and all types of analogies or different ways that we look at life and how we try to navigate through life and problems that we have in life. So we just have to be very, very careful when we are in these storms, when we are in challenges, and when we are in turbulent times, that we remember to stay in the center where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is, which makes it a whole lot safer than walking around the edges and falling off. Like you're falling off a cliff or something. We do not want to fall off the cliff. We want to stay steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, even though we may be timid or shy and maybe a little fearful, but if we will put our trust in Him and let Him fight our battles for us, we would feel a whole lot safer. I know I do. If I don't have to fight, hey, that's a plus to me. If I can put my trust in someone else to take care of all these things for me, hey, no stress, you know, at least less stress. I'm good with that. I'm good. I don't have to get out of my character. I don't have to pull my hair out. I don't have much of that anyway right now. So I'm like saying, I like peace. I like comfort. I like feeling, you know, secure. And I know we all do, you know. No one wants to feel like they're always on edge and there is no peace in their life and they're always in turmoil. We don't want to live our lives like that. We want to live peaceful lives. We want to stay in the middle of the storm. Right. And you know, sometimes when there are hurricanes, planes will ride out like toward the ocean and ride right in the middle of that storm. And I always wondered, how can they do that? Now that we're having this thought for today about the eye of the storm, wow, it kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Eye of the storm. Wow. So hopefully we all learned something from that thought for today, and we can share that thought with someone else, and we can remember that for our own selves when we are going through our turbulent times, which is a You could say that it's a fact. It's going to happen eventually, one day. It's not if, it's when. And hopefully we can remember that when these things happen. Yes, absolutely. Okay, so let us move on. I thought that my guest would be here by now, but he's not. So let me see what I can add to this thought for today. Okay. He's coming with his announcement. What else is October noted for? I know that every month is full of holidays. That we observe and take note of. And can you believe it's almost Halloween and we just got into October and we're almost in the middle of it. And we do know that Halloween is this month. Surprising history of October. It is the month of colorful change, which we have talked about. It is also a month of winemaking, noisy owls, and Samhain in October. Halloween. Yeah. We do know that. And we had a lot of family members with birthdays this month, October. I know I said like last month, people have said more children are born in the month of September and also October. Yeah. That's what they say. All right, let's see what else it says for October. My phone went to some other type of thing that it likes to do, and I can't use it like I used to. Okay, October's place in the Roman calendar when March was the first month. It is now the 10th month of the Gregorian calendar. In Old English, October was called when Moeth, or Wine Month, which we just talked about. Seasonal oddities and astronomical facts. October's full moon, which I talked about just a few minutes ago. Beautiful, huge, takes your breath away. And I think we have maybe one more night of that. Known as the Hunter's Moon. I thought it was the Harvest Moon. Okay. Was named by the Algonquin people as it signaled hunting season before winter. It follows the Harvest Moon. Well, I was right about that. Which can occur in September or October. If the Harvest Moon appears in October, it replaces the Hunter's Moon. The term Hunter's Moon was first recorded in 1710, according to the Oxford English Dictionary. October also features one of the four cross-quarter days, which mark the midpoint between solstices and equinoxes. Ancient Celts celebrated Samhain or Summer's End. October the 8th, 1871, the Prestigio Fire, the deadliest wildfire in U.S. history, devastated northern Wisconsin on the same night as the Great Chicago Fire. According to the National Weather Service, it killed more than 1,200 people and likely was caused by a brush fire started by railroad workers clearing tracks. In October 1726, Englishwoman Mary Toft's bizarre medical hoax convinced doctors that she had given birth to rabbits. Oh my God. Drawing the interest of King George I, she eventually confessed to the fraud. Amen, right? In December, admitting she had manually inserted. I don't even want to read the rest of that. Okay. The correct calendar drift, Pope Gregory 10/13 introduced the Gregorian calendar, removing 10 days from October in 1582. After October the 4th, the calendar jumped to October 15th. On October 25th, 1415, during the Battle of Agincourt, French knights burdened by heavy armor struggled to advance across a rain-soaked, muddy battlefield. This severely hindered their mobility, contributing to their defeat against the more agile English forces. Forgotten holidays and celebrations. Halloween stems from Samhain, an ancient Celtic festival marking the end of summer, the beginning of winter, and the start of the new year on November 1st. Celts believe that on October 31st, spirits could return to Earth. Druids built large bonfires for sacrifices, and people wore animal skin costumes to tell fortunes. Though Oktoberfest is widely associated with beer, the ancient festival of Mida Trinalia centered on wine. According to William Smith, 1875, a dictionary of Greek and Roman antiquities, it was celebrated on October 11th and involved tasting new wine and offering it to the gods. Some attribute the festival to Meta Trina, the Roman goddess of health and wine. Why is it that we always have to have an entity to worship? Well, that is not Christ-like. Lesser known national holidays you may want to pencil in this month. Well, okay. National Hagfish Day, celebrated the third Wednesday of October, honoring the slimy, jawless fish that secretes a sticky goo and eats dead matter. Some of these things kind of turn your stomach this morning, right? Sorry. International Ship in a Bottle Day, held October the 4th, pays tribute to the founder of the Ship in a Bottle Association of America. Sweetest Day, celebrated the third Saturday in October, originated in Cleveland as a day for philanthropy and kindness, according to the State Library of Ohio. The National Confectioners Association initially called it Candy Day in 1916. October's animal mascot. Think of Halloween, and bats and black cats and spiders and toads often come to mind, but don't forget the owl, symbolic of wisdom and omens. The bird is strongly associated with Samhain, which it was seen as a messenger between the living and dead. October is sometimes called Owl Month or Hooting Season, according to Washington State University, as owls become more vocal during this time as they establish their winter turf or preparing for mating season. Okay, now that was interesting, wasn't it? About the owls. I never knew that. Okay, so that was a few things for October. Let's see what else we can find out. Just trying to buy time until my guest gets here. He said about 10:30. Okay. Every month, there are hundreds of national and international celebrations dedicated to raising awareness and support for meaningful causes. I think he's here. Praise God, right? Yeah. Woo-woo. Hey, Fred.
Good morning. Sorry to be so late.
That's okay. We were waiting on you. Yeah, I said, well,
how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, doing well. Yep, and our audience is waiting for you. We're going to give him about 2 or 3 minutes to get himself together to get over here. Because I waited to give the announcement for the
dinner
with the president. Yeah, absolutely. I left that up to you. But we're just going through a few things for October was noted for. The owl is one of them. Could you imagine that? The owl.
Oh, the owl.
Yeah, they're
well,
more.
That makes sense.
Really?
Good morning. And again, I'm sorry I'm late. We had an appointment at 9 o'clock this morning, and I got to thinking last night when I sent you the text that it could take a little bit longer. We had to meet with our investment person, and I'm glad that I sent you a text and let you know I was going to be late because I didn't want you to think I wasn't coming at all. Oh, catching my breath. I was just listening on the way over on the radio, and they were talking about the shutdown, of course, that's going on with the government. And it sounds like now that there are a few members of the Republican Party that are pressing their leadership to rethink this whole insurance issue that the Democrats keep talking about.
Right.
And it isn't the fact that the Democrats are trying to get health insurance for illegal aliens. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Number one, they're not insurable anyway.
Right.
So this is a false claim on behalf of some members of Congress. But now there are some Republicans that are saying, hey, this is absolutely right. We need to do something with health care now, because if we don't, it's going to get worse
right.
after the end of this year if something isn't addressed now. So what the Democrats want to do, and now what some of the Republicans are agreeing to, is do this one-year continuation and get this insurance problem settled. Because if they don't, at the end of this year, people that are on the Affordable Care Act, their premiums are going to skyrocket. Mm-hmm. It's no lie. It's going to happen.
Right.
And already premiums are high as it is and deductibles are high as it is. But if this doesn't get addressed and something isn't done with this plan, it's going to get a whole lot worse for a lot of people. And there are going to be people that are going to be suffering without insurance at all.
Right.
A point was made this morning, and I agree with this. We see it in our own area. It's hard to find a doctor that's in private practice anymore. Most of the physicians have now joined big health groups
right.
like AVITA or Ohio Health. So this is actually a part of the problem
mm-hmm.
because there aren't private individuals that are practicing on their own now. So that's driving health care costs up that much more. So we need to concentrate, or the Congress needs to concentrate, on what's right for the American people and quit this arguing between the two parties. It absolutely makes no sense, and it's not doing anything but hurting the ordinary person on the street, people like you and I, and people
right.
like our listeners. So
that's true.
That's
well,
my two cents over
that.
What
yeah.
happened that today. And again, I'm glad to see that. And the one that's really coming forefront is somebody I never believed would do this, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
She's actually coming forward and finally say, our speaker needs to get his you know what, out of the ground and do something about this, because this is a problem. And now she's siding with the Democrats, which is highly unusual.
Yes, it is.
But it goes to prove the point that it isn't what the Speaker and the leadership of the House is saying, that the Democrats are trying to get insurance for illegal aliens.
Right.
That's a lie. We're trying to get insurance for people in the country, everyday voters, Democrats, Republicans, independents alike, that need health insurance and can't afford their premiums to go to several thousand dollars a month.
No,
so,
I couldn't even imagine.
Thank you,
Marjorie
Taylor Greene. Thank you very much for stepping forward and putting politics aside and thinking about the American people
yes,
for a change.
Yes, yes, yes. Great.
Amen to that. Yeah, we'll applaud
and
her.
Hopefully that goes real well. Yes.
So anyway, thank you very much for – you could have gone ahead and talked about it, but that was going to be my lead in this. What we have left of this segment was to talking about the dinner and the things that we have ongoing right now.
Okay.
So we'll start talking about with Dinner with the Presidents, which, as you know, comes up on Saturday, November the 1st. So the clock is ticking.
Yes.
We're down to about, 22, 23 days left before the dinner. This year, it's going to be where it was last year, All Occasions Catering and Banquet Facility, which is located at 6989 Waldo Delaware Road, just south of Waldo. It's on Saturday, November the 1st, from 4:30 to 7:30. I do need to mention this specifically, because this is advanced ticket sales only.
Mm-hmm.
People need to buy their tickets now for the dinner, because the cutoff date is Friday, October the 17th. So we need to have your order by that date
right.
in order to give our count to the caterer. Now, I just learned yesterday, and this is between you and I and everybody that's listening today, that we could go a few days over that. So, in mm-hmm. other words, if you miss that Friday deadline and just suddenly realize, oh my gosh, I didn't buy my tickets
right.
yet, you can still call in or stop at the museum, you know, Monday or Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, and we could still get you in the dinner.
Right.
So, we'd like to have it by the 17th, but if not, we got a few days leeway in there that we could work with. And I will say that ticket sales have gone slower this year than they have in the past, so we do need your support.
Mm-hmm.
We had a couple of bus groups that were planning to come that couldn't fill their buses. and they want to come next year. They said they're going to bring two buses next year, but that doesn't help me this year.
No,
so
it doesn't.
If you're on the fence about what to do about the dinner, please buy tickets and come to the dinner because the Historical Society does need your support. At this point, I think we're maybe two-thirds of where we should be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we need to get the push out.
Right.
This last week, 10 days, we need to get the push out. Again, this is our 15th annual. I cannot believe it's been 15 years since we first started doing this. This was born out of an idea between Doug Ebert and myself, just sitting around talking over 15 years ago about, we should maybe try having a dinner and get some guys to act like presidents. And from that, here we are, 15 years later.
Wow.
We've now done, I think, in the last 15 years, I think we've covered at least 35 okay. U.S. presidents. Some, of course, are doing the same president they have done since we started, which is great because they know everything about those presidents, which is makes the dinner that much more fun for people that are attending. But it's just hard for me to believe that it's been 15 years. I don't know where the last 15
years
have
gone. Time goes so
fast. Yeah, it really
does.
So anyway, if you've never been to the dinner before, highlights will include a buffet dinner. And the buffet dinner is all based on foods taken from the original White House recipes. And we feature the foods that were being eaten by the presidents and or first ladies that will be speaking this year.
Right.
And those individuals are Louisa Catherine Adams, who was the wife of John Quincy Adams, who was the son of John Adams. And so she is going to be speaking this year as the sixth presidential first lady. William Howard Taft, the 27th president of the United States from Cincinnati, Ohio, mm-hmm. born and raised, who went on to become Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, appointed by Warren Harding.
Okay.
So he is going to be speaking. He was the 27th president, as I said before. And I think this year, President Taft is going to actually appear in his judicial robes and be speaking as the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court,
okay.
a retired president. Woodrow Wilson, our 28th president, will be speaking. And, of course, he is known for having been president during World War I. He fought very hard to keep us from getting into World War I, but unfortunately he finally realized that if the United States didn't get in the war, it could be very detrimental to the people in Europe and could go on and on and on for years. So finally we entered the war, and as a result of the United States entering the war and sending all those thousands of doughboys over mm-hmm. to Europe, the war was cut considerably short. And, of course, the Allies did become victorious and push back the German resistance. So we won that war. Thank you, President Wilson. And then also we have Eleanor Roosevelt, who was Franklin Roosevelt's wife and first lady, the 32nd president of the United States, the only president elected four times
right.
to that office. And as a result of his election of four times, the federal government, via the Constitution, limited to any future president of only serving two terms.
So that's like,
I hope you listen, Mr.
Yes.
President, currently. Two terms. That's it. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's all right. That's okay. That's all right.
So anyway.
That's like 16 years, right?
Exactly. And of course, as everyone knows, he did not make it 16 years. He was elected in 1945 for his fourth term and died in April of that year. So he only served about 4 months of that fourth term. And that's when Harry Truman took over because okay. he was vice president and finished out the remainder of that term. So those are your four speakers. In addition to those speakers, and again, we'll be tasting what they ate in the White House on our buffet. And then in addition to them, we have the non-speaking presidents who will also have tables in the audience. And there are some tickets left for some of those tables. So if you want to sit with the president, get that order in early. You could still do that. We have Thomas Jefferson, the third president of the United States, the author of the Declaration of Independence. Mm. I mean, how much better does it get than that? You know?
I know.
And I'm not sure whether there's any seats left at his table or not, but you'll be able to at least see him. And during dinner or during the intermission period, you can maybe walk over and introduce yourself to President Jefferson. So I'm very excited to have him there. We actually had President Jefferson with us maybe 10 years ago. So this is the this will be the first time in 10 years that he's been back with us. James Madison, the fourth president of the United States, will be there with his lovely wife, Dolly. Of course, Mr. Madison was president during the War of 1812. They were in the White House when the British broke into Washington and burnt down everything, including the White House. Wow. Everything was destroyed in the White House except the shell. Wow. So the actual shell of the building was still there. And Dolly is famous for having rescued Gilbert Stuart's painting of George Washington that hung in the White House then and does yet today because of Dolly Madison and her trusted house servant, mm-hmm. Wow. Who was a black man, which we've talked about before.
Right.
Then Andrew Jackson, our seventh president of the United States, will be in attendance with his wife's niece. Now, I have to explain, when Jackson was elected president, he was married, but his wife was ill.
Right.
So unfortunately, before he took office, in April, at that time they were sworn in March instead of January like it is now. But by the time he was sworn into office, she had passed away. So he enlisted her niece to become his White House hostess or to serve as his first lady. So she will be there with him that night. So if you happen to get a seat at the table with the Andrew Jackson, you'll also get a chance to have dinner conversation with his wife's niece. Martin Van Buren will be there again with us this year, our eighth president of the United States. He was the gentleman that liked to dress very elegantly.
Okay.
He was a New Englander and a very interesting gentleman. He was the fellow that kind of had the wild-looking hair and the mutton chops that came down the side of his face. So you can very definitely pick him out. Zachary Taylor, our 12th president of the United States, will be there. Ulysses Grant, our 18th president of the United States, and of course he is known for, well, two things, for being born in Point Pleasant, Ohio, grew up in Ohio. He went to West Point, and of course he was the general that effectively ended the Civil War with the Confederate Army in 1865. Chester Arthur, the 21st president of the United States, who was actually from New York, but was serving as vice president when James Garfield was assassinated shortly after being elected and only served less than a year in that capacity. And so Chester Arthur took over as president for him. The unusual thing about Chester Arthur was he had never served in any political office before. Mm-hmm. He was elected vice president with Garfield, and that was his first elective office. So he had basically no political experience when he stepped in. He had the same fortune that Jackson did. His wife had passed away before he was elected to the presidency. And so when he went into the White House, he took along with him his sister to be his White House hostess or his first lady.
Right.
Benjamin Harrison, the 23rd president of the United States, also born in Ohio. He and his wife, Caroline, will be there. He was in the Civil War, one of the last presidents that was part of the Civil War. Theodore Roosevelt, Teddy, as we all know, the 26th president of the United States, will be there, famous for his charge up San Juan Hill during the Spanish-American War in Cuba. Warren Harding, 29th president from Ohio, from Marion, Ohio, he will be there with his lovely wife.
Okay.
And she will accompany him at the table, Florence. She was a Kling, also born and raised here in Marion. Her father was Amos Kling. He was a very influential businessman here in town, served on a couple of board of directors for local banks. He also had a couple of businesses. He always wanted a son.
Okay.
And he got Florence instead, so he kind of raised her as a tomboy. So she
was
very much a tomboy growing up, was very good with horses, quite the equestrian. And so they're a very interesting couple. And if you have a chance to sit with them or meet them, that'd be great as well. Herbert Hoover, our 31st president, who unfortunately was the unfortunate individual that was serving as president when the Great Depression occurred in 1929.
Okay.
So he did not have a very great time in the White House, although he was a very good president, a very intelligent individual, probably one of the smartest presidents that we've had. And finally, Harry Truman, our 33rd president, who succeeded Franklin Roosevelt, as we talked about earlier, when Roosevelt passed away at the beginning of his fourth term.
Right.
Harry finished out that term, then ran for a term of his own, and is famous for holding the newspaper up that says Dewey wins when actually Truman won. The newspaper printed out the results before the final results were in. So Governor Dewey from New York was actually defeated by Truman that year and had egg on his face, obviously, because of that. Master ceremonies this year, Colonel Edmund W. Starling, White House Secret Service agent from 1914 to 1943. He served five U.S. presidents, Wilson, Harding, Coolidge, Hoover, and Franklin Roosevelt. Wrote a biography of himself, a very fascinating individual, has a lot of great stories about serving those five men in the White House, behind-the-scenes type stories, the things that were people that, if you read a history book, you may not know about. And then, of course, our special guest speaker, Mary Ellen Withrow, the 40th Treasurer of the United States.
Who just had a birthday.
Who just had a birthday.
95
years. 95
years
old. Isn't that remarkable?
Yes.
Absolutely remarkable.
Yes.
And the thing that is so remarkable to me is she is so sharp upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what's going on current event-wise. I love having a conversation with her about current politics and current affairs, because she is right up to date on it. Still driving, still very much mobile.
Yes.
Fabulous. I hope she keeps going on for many, 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 many years to come.
Me too.
Really great to have her still with us. Again, that's the Dinner with the President, Saturday, November the 1st, 4:30 to 7:30. All occasions catering and banquet facility just south of Delaware. It's the 15th annual event. So mark it down. Get your tickets now. The cutoff date is the 17th of October, give or take a few days. So get your tickets now while they're still available.
All righty. All right. We have one more minute.
Well, you can still get tickets for the gun raffle, the Henry gun raffle that we have going on. Those tickets will be still a sale up until, I think it's the Monday after the presidential dinner or sooner if the last ticket is sold. Only 400 tickets available. They're $10 a piece. You can get them at Norton Sporting Goods or at the Historical Society, or if you happen to catch a board member, some of them have tickets as well. You can call 740-387-4255 for more information.
Wow. I could not have done that justice, that announcement for the dinner, even though I would have read through it, you know, took my time, but
well,
not like you.
It's like my wife says, I got too much useful information in my
head. Oh, yes, it's up there, it's up there. Thank you. We are out of time for our first hour. Thank you for listening to A Voice of a People live here with Linda Sims. And Fred Malone will be my guest for the next hour at 11:15 to the top of the hour of 12 noon. And hopefully you can come back. And if you can't, have a blessed, safe, and happy weekend, and be careful out there. Thank you. Till next time, be blessed.